But I do feel like there's one Lamentations message that we need to hear. It's in Lamentations chapter 3, and it is truly a great passage of Scripture. This is an awesome part of God's Word, and I want you to understand it tonight and apply it to our Thanksgiving message from this morning. So, chapter 3, picking up in verse 19, and we'll read through verse 26. Again, you're going to recognize this, whether you realize that or not. Jeremiah says, "Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed." We all know why he's depressed, don't we? Let me just stop for a second before I read on. We all know why he's discouraged. We've been through this study in Jeremiah. We know he's watched the city burned. He's watched people taken away captive to Babylon. He himself is probably in Egypt at this time. Everything is gone. Everything is lost. By the way, do you know that discouragement can come from a number of places? Discouragement can come upon you when you least expect it. And discouragement is probably, in my opinion, Satan's greatest tool. And so Jeremiah is battling. He's battling discouragement. He's battling depression. And yet, notice what he says here. Again, this is a great, great part of Scripture. He says, "Yet I call this to mind," verse 21, "and therefore I have hope." There's that hopefulness we talked about today. Why does he have hope? Look at verse 22. "Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him." Verse 25, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord." Father, I love you. These great words that were penned by Jeremiah are words that continue to be on our lips today. Great is your faithfulness, your faithful love, your faithful mercies that are truly new every morning. Lord, we understand the setting and the context of this because of our series we've been preaching through Jeremiah. Help us to understand how to apply it to our lives tonight. What Jeremiah is proclaiming here, help us to live that out. Help us to live with gratitude to you and with hope in you. And help me to preach your word tonight, Lord. And help us as we also commission Aaron and Melissa tonight. Lord, I pray that it would be a God-anointing time for them and for their girls, for Erica and Elena. And you would help them, Lord, as all they're preparing to do for this new journey, new chapter in their lives and their ministry. Thank you for our International Mission Board. Thank you for the partners and those who come alongside and help. Thank you for people who give and who pray, as Aaron expressed in the video. We just thank you tonight, Lord. Our hearts are full. And we pray that you would meet us in your word tonight. Help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, again, you've got a song in your head right now, and you're going to sing it in just a few minutes. We wouldn't be right not to sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" here in just a few minutes. But here's what you don't often think about. I don't know when you last sang that hymn. I was trying to think when I last sang it, but I guarantee you I was not thinking about the setting of when Jeremiah wrote these words. Literally, this is Israel's lowest moment. I mean, it doesn't get any lower. They've been destroyed by the hands of the Babylonian army, as we have read and studied over these last several months. The mood is bleak. You read earlier, these words he's sharing are words of despair, words that are dark and angry. And really, all through the five chapters, it's a bleak. If I were to preach it verse by verse, you would get pretty depressed. But here is a ray of hope in chapter 3. There's a ray of hope, and the hope is based on the faithfulness of God. So the next time you sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness," you know, sometimes we sing that song maybe at the wedding of a child, or maybe we sing because of some other celebration. Think about it in these terms. Think about singing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" in the lowest of low times. Maybe your husband or your wife has left you, and you sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Or maybe you have cancer and you've gone through treatment and the treatment didn't work. And you sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." This text is not the answer to the mysteries of life. It's the answer to what we believe God would have us to believe in our hearts. Hearts that are filled with gratitude, declaring that He is our hope in the midst of hopelessness. That's what that song is all about. That's what this passage is all about. And I want to leave you tonight in these next few minutes with three hopeful thoughts that carry us through the dark times and darkest trials of life. Three hopeful thoughts. Again, playing off our last point this morning from this morning's message. Here's number one. Because of God's faithfulness, we can experience sustaining grace. Because of God's faithfulness, we as His children experience sustaining grace. I don't know if you've thought about this or not. Some of you may realize this more than others. But we all walk closer to the edge than we think. There is a thin line between disaster and prosperity, health and joy and sorrow, laughter and tears, life and death. It's a thin line. It really is. And so it is God's sustaining grace that carries us day by day. First of all, we think about the setting here. The setting is a setting of judgment. God has brought judgment on His people, and it's a righteous judgment. It's deserved. Think about what God ought to do to us. You know what I deserve? God ought to destroy me for the kind of life that I've led. I am not good. I am a sinner who is saved by God's sustaining grace. And so we think about this love here. I want you to look at this again. It says, because of the Lord's faithful love. The Hebrew word there, you might have heard me mention that before. I love that word. I'm sure I've mentioned it. Chesed. I love that word because it is a love that talks about someone who is loyal. Someone who does not abandon another. It's a love that doesn't let go. That's the kind of love that God has for us. A love that doesn't let go. God loves us. Why? Because He promised to love us. We don't deserve His love. And there's nothing we can do that can cause Him to break His promises. That's what this passage is teaching us or showing us. And so Jeremiah is saying here that our daily lives depend on God's sustaining grace. My life and yours are in the hands of our Lord. So many people wonder what's going to happen in life. And they wonder about when the other shoe's going to drop. It's getting bad right now. How bad is it going to get? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. As bad as it might seem right now, if God wasn't involved in your life and mine, it would be worse. God is a faithful, forever loving God. And people wonder about what's going to happen 10 years from now. Or what's going to happen in my life? Hold on to God's sustaining grace day by day. Our daily lives depend on it. But you know what else depends on it? Our eternal life depends on God's sustaining grace. Time after time, when you talk to people, if you're sharing the gospel, and you'll ask them, and even this week, Bradley and I were out, we got to share with some folks, and we're still doing Saturate USA, and people, when you ask them that key question, when you stand before God, and He were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, how will you answer Him, they want to say, well, I've done some things in my life, or I've been a good person. Listen, good people don't get to heaven. Saved people get to heaven. So it's God's sustaining grace that I'm leaning on. I'm counting on. I'm counting on God to be my Savior. And listen, when does that really hit home to us? When we go through trials and difficulty and we're in the deepest, darkest times of our lives. Heard a story about a pastor. And this was a younger pastor who was very loved in his congregation. And he was diagnosed with cancer. Man probably in his 30s. And he was told he didn't have long to live. I thought about that. What would I say to my congregation if that was my diagnosis, if I were in that situation? I don't think I could say anything more eloquent than that man told his congregation. And I want you to listen to what he said. I've jotted down his notes. He said, "For the first time in my life, I felt as if I've begun to understand God's grace." He said, "It's not as if I'm afraid to die. It's more the realization that I'm not going to live to be 50 or 60. Or 70. He said, for years, now listen to this, for years I've subconsciously expected to live to some ripe old age. That meant that I had plenty of time to improve myself, to get rid of my bad habits, to repair my broken relationships, to grow in grace. But now, for the first time in my life, I realize I don't have enough time to do that. I realize that I'm going to go out for eternity less than I want to be, with some habits unchanged, some relationships unrepaired, some spiritual growth not accomplished. I want you to listen to what he says next. This is so crucial to understand as a Christian. That's when I realized that I'm going to have to depend completely on the grace of God. Isn't that what it's all about? Not just theoretically, not just practically, but totally. If God's grace isn't enough, I'm in trouble because I don't have enough time for massive self-improvement. I am buoyed, sustained by the goodness and the faithfulness of God's grace. That's what it's all about, guys. God's faithful grace. You can rely on His faithful grace in the darkest times of life. Second thought for you from this passage tonight. Because of God's faithfulness, we experience daily provision. Daily provision. I don't want you to miss this. I love this part in this passage. Look at it with me. Look back in the text. It says, because of God's faithful love, in verse 22, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. And I know that reads a little awkwardly in English, but that's exactly what it's supposed to say. Plural, mercies. Not God's mercy, but God's mercies. Plural. Day after day, week after week, month after month, His compassions, as it says in some translations, they fail not. So God's mercy and His compassion is plural. Think about it like waves, like the ocean waves coming in again and again and again, cascading down on us. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, He gives us more grace. And John, in his gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 16, speaks of God giving one blessing after another. God provides daily. He is, as it says in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So what do we say about that? Well, we say God's mercy is constant. Often we fail to see how blessed we truly are. Every day there are blessings that I can see if I'll take time to see them. You know, a lot of us, what we have right now is a well-developed sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to this and I don't have it. Or I should have that and I haven't been given that yet. When if you'll just stop and think, you'll see many ways. And you'll develop that sense of gratitude that we talked about this morning. It's true every day of our lives. God is faithful. God's blessing or mercy is constant. Second, God's mercy is consistent. Here's a word of hope for people who wonder what it is going to be like tomorrow and next month and next year. It's a word of hope for every saint. Do you remember the story of what happened in the wilderness when God's people were wandering for 40 years? And they grew hungry and their stomachs began to growl. And God, what did God do to take care of them daily? He gave them daily manna. Manna from heaven. Now they got tired of that manna and they grumbled about it a little bit. But did God not feed them faithfully? For 40 years, daily, except on the Sabbath day, they would be fed their daily bread. In fact, it says in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35, as you see up there on the screen, they ate manna for 40 years. Until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they reached the border of the land of Canaan. What is that all about? It's about the fact that God will meet our needs day by day. We may not understand how He's going to do it, but we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We know that God meets our needs today. God was teaching His people then, and He's teaching us now to trust Him day by day. His mercies are new every morning. Now, God's blessings are never late. They're also never early. But they are new every morning. Trust God to give you what you need to meet the needs of the day, whether that's tomorrow or next week or next month. Charles Spurgeon was asked one time, if he were dragged on the village square to be executed or martyred for Christ tomorrow at noon, would he be ready? Would he have the strength to stand strong? You know what he said? I thought this was profound. He said, no, I wouldn't have the strength. but tomorrow at noon I would. That's what we're talking about. That God will meet us in our need day by day. Because God's mercy is constant, it's consistent, and thirdly, it's compassionate. It's compassionate. Will our health hold up? Will our money hold out? Will our children desert their faith? All I know for sure is that God's mercy is compassionate. And whatever He asks me to go through, His grace is sufficient for me and for you as well. God's faithfulness is so assured that we can rest in it. We can count on it. Great is thy faithfulness. One author wrote it this way. He said, each day He gives us a fresh taste of His love. And you can experience that day by day when you know Him. Let me share one final thought from this great passage tonight. Because of His faithfulness, I can completely trust Him. That's the inference, right? That's the final inference, the final step. Because of His faithfulness, I just need to completely trust Him. I need to trust God completely with my life, with my salvation, with my trials and my troubles, with everything. Our confidence is not in our ability. It's not in our resources or our wealth. It's in His promises. That's what Jeremiah is trying to get across here. This is what faithfulness, the faithfulness of God means. Jeremiah had hope. Here he is in Egypt. Here he is with the city destroyed, the gates and the walls burned down, people exiled. Yet God had made him promises, right? We've studied that as we've gone through Jeremiah. The people will return to the land. The temple will be restored. God is a God of restoration. And Jeremiah trusted that. He completely trusted in the hope that he had in Jesus. As it says in Psalm 145 in verse 13, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. That's why it says here, I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in Him. You see that there in the text we're looking at tonight? So, what does that look like for us? Let me give you four thoughts, and then I'll close it out tonight. When you are discouraged, even overwhelmed, remember God's faithfulness. Wasn't this a discouraging and overwhelming time for the children of Israel, for Jeremiah? All of us face moments like that, where we feel like we're alone, we don't have the strength to go on, we don't know where we're going to have the wherewithal or the resources or the circumstances. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Here's another one to think about. When you doubt your salvation, when you wonder if you're truly even saved, and listen, a lot of Christians will do that. Probably most people in this room at one time or another have doubted their salvation. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember how faithful God is. Again, getting to heaven has nothing to do with how good I am and everything to do with how good God is. How faithful God is. God will save us when we turn away from our sins and we trust Him only. Hebrews 10:23. Now, I hope they put this, they may put this up. It probably won't be in the NIV. It might be if Linda knows me pretty well. I love this, and I quote this often in the NIV. And this is not the NIV. I see it right now. But let us hold unswervingly. I like that word, unswervingly. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. You see that? I'm not always faithful, but great is His faithfulness. When you doubt your salvation, if you've truly trusted Christ and you've repented of your sins, great is His faithfulness. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess because He is faithful. Here's another one. When you are tempted to sin, remember God's faithfulness. We're all tempted sometimes. Sometimes we're tempted in a powerful way. And we don't think we can resist the temptation. If you feel like that tonight, if you've got a besetting sin in your life and you stumble again and again, you're saved. But if you were gut level honest with me right now and we were one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, and you said, man, I can't overcome that sin. Then you're not listening to the Word of God. Great is His faithfulness. Let me lay two verses on you. All right? The first verse is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He'll strengthen you. There's nothing you can't overcome. There aren't any sins as a saved person, a saved man or woman of God. People in this room can talk about all kinds of things they've overcome. I could tell you things I've overcome. You can be an overcomer because our Lord is faithful. Do you see it there? And He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The other passage I'll lay on you, this is a powerful one. We could preach a whole sermon on this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. So in other words, you're not unique. You're not being tempted more than anybody else. Your temptations are common. He says, but God, here it is again, is what? Is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will provide a way of escape or a way out so that you may be able to bear it. Now that way of escape may be an accountability partner. It may be not hanging around in certain places anymore or going to certain sites on a website. But God is faithful. That's what I'm trying to share with you right now. When you're tempted, remember that God is faithful. In both cases, in these verses, it's His faithfulness that ties us directly to being able to resist the temptations of life. And He wants to give you strength when Satan tries to attack you. Here's a third one to think about. This is our fourth one. When you've made a mess of your life, remember God's faithfulness. So let's say you didn't resist temptation. Let's say you succumbed to it again and again and again, and today you're reaping the consequences of it, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know what I would say to you? Great is His faithfulness. When you've stumbled and made a mess of your life, remember that God is still faithful. You may feel like you'd be ashamed for others to know what you've been in and where you've been, and you may feel like there's no hope for you. God is a forgiving God. He's a restoring God. Now again, He may not take away some of the consequences for your actions, but great is His faithfulness. All you need to know is there is no sin that is a sin that can't be forgiven except for the sin of rejecting or resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Great is His faithfulness. So, will He be there when you need Him? Will what you need be there when you need it? Yes! That's what Jeremiah is saying here. Because great is thy faithfulness. That's what this passage is talking about. Listen, Hudson Taylor, let me close with a quote from Hudson Taylor. He was a great missionary. We're going to commission a missionary in just a moment in his family. Hudson Taylor said once that Jesus said to His followers, have faith in God. He said that should actually be translated not so much have faith in God as hold on to the faithfulness of God. And it became the motto and the light of His life's work. He goes on to say, when we say have faith in God, the emphasis seems to be on our work. But the key is on how well we are following. When we talk about hanging on to the faithfulness of God, Hudson Taylor says we are reminding ourselves that the key is not our strength, but His. Remember, great is His faithfulness. It was His faithfulness that caused Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus went all the way to the cross for your sins. And Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Great is His faithfulness. The year was 1866. In a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky, Thomas Obadiah Chisholm was born. That name may not mean much to you. He was not necessarily an exemplary student. He didn't go even to high school or college. But he did become an elementary teacher at age 16. Later, he became an associate editor of a local newspaper called the Franklin Favorite. At age 27, Obadiah Chisholm's life changed. He went to a revival service. There was a pastor there named Dr. H.C. Morrison, who preached a gospel message. And at the end of the service, Obadiah Chisholm gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. In the years that followed, he served as a Methodist minister. Later, he was an insurance agent, living in places like Winona Lake, Indiana, and later Vinland, New Jersey. What he did during most of his life is he wrote poetry, over 1,200 poems. And in 1923, he sent several of them to a publisher named William Runyon, who was a musician who served at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And Mr. Runyon was so impressed by one poem in particular that he set it to music. He set his words to music. And these words we're going to sing in just a moment. Steve's going to come and lead us, but the song is called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And they're words that came right out of this passage. It's a passage of being heartbroken, but a passage of being hopeful that God is faithful. Great is His faithfulness and His mercies. They are new every morning. So let's pray together, and then let's sing together with maybe a new perspective and a new spin on this great old hymn. Father, we do thank You. As You have shown us, as we've studied Jeremiah, and now looked at Lamentations, which is the aftermath of what happened after Your judgment fell, that Jeremiah was able to say, You are great and awesome. You are faithful, Lord. Your faithful love causes us not to perish. Your mercies, Your compassions, they fail us not. They are new every morning. Lord, help us to say that when we're in the midst of trials and suffering and struggles. Lord, when we don't know how we're going to pay our bills, when we don't know if we're going to make it or not with our health, when we don't know what's going to happen in the life of our nation, may we be able to say, because we have hearts filled with gratitude as saved people, great is Your faithfulness. May we be like Jeremiah and recognize Your faithful, chesed love. And Lord, when we're getting ready to go onto the mission field, and we don't know what lies ahead, and there's fear in our hearts, may we be able to say like Jeremiah, great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, how we are thankful for this faithful missionary, this faithful pastor and preacher of the Word. But more than that, more than anything else, we are grateful for Your faithfulness. We love You and we honor You. And we're going to sing praise to You right now, Lord, from the bottom and depths of our heart, recognizing that You are faithful to us and our hearts are filled with gratitude to You. So we love You and we praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.